This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've already talked about the Grizzlies all day today, and they're going to have, of course, wrap-up stuff and postseason stuff.
Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning. Is that official?
Yeah.
So tomorrow morning they are going
11 o'clock hour, if I'm not mistaken. Go back and check, but I'm pretty sure that's it.
Yeah, they're going to
start at 11:45.
Yeah, they're going to say their goodbyes and reflect on their season. And look, we look back on this season, I think, very positively. You're frustrated because, look, you win game one. You would have liked to have won the whole thing, right, the whole series. But certainly there were never any real expectations of that.
I know what Taylor Jenkins is going to say. A lot more basketball.
That's right.
In front of us.
That's right.
Right. Not this season, but
yes.
He can still use it and say in front of us.
There's always – that's the thing about life, man. There's always a lot of basketball left to be played.
Yeah.
Until there's not, of course. You know, and then what? Then what happens? That's a different conversation for a different day.
Not ready for that one.
But yes, the Grizzlies will say their goodbyes and they'll go off to Cabo and Cancun.
I doubt it'll be a long vacation for Ja Morant. Seems like a dude that gets right back in the gym.
Well,
hopefully Jaren Jackson does the same thing.
Well, you know, too, look.
Not to get too deep into this again. I know this isn't where you plan to go.
Yeah.
Work, like Ms. Grizz said.
Well, look, also too, like it's a real off season.
Because didn't you see how emotional Jaren was yesterday? Like
yeah.
That it's over, and you got the sense, okay, well, he didn't play a full season, so this idea that you don't want to stop right now because it feels like I get it. But a guy who wanted to keep it going, like Jaren, who played as little as he did this season, I got to expect how long you got to be in Cabo. You know, if you're Jaren Jackson, as many questions surrounding you as there are.
You go for 5 days?
I mean, sure. That's good. Hell, make it 2 weeks, John. But after that, I'm right back in that gym if I'm Jaren Jackson and I didn't play as much as I wanted to this season, nearly as much as I wanted to. That's what it's got to be, and hopefully that's the attitude for him. I know Ja gonna be in the gym. Hopefully Jaren Jackson will be in there as well, developing some post moves.
Yeah.
Get comfortable down there, bruh.
Yep.
Looks like they love you at the five.
I also think, too, like this is a real off season. You know, it's the first real off season
absolutely
since
matters.
2019.
Yeah, it's a full one.
2018-19.
What'd you get, 2 months off last year?
About, you know.
If that.
Maybe a little more.
Then you come back and you got the COVID protocol and stuff from the Grizzlies. It's 40 games in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
No more than one day off. So, yes, it will be a nice off season, but there's still plenty of time to do Cabo.
Yep.
Get you a couple weeks in, then get back to work.
Do we know the 2020?
You don't could do long vacation. LeBron, do a long vacation.
Right.
You don't need to get back in the gym the first thing.
Right.
And go work on your skill. Young team, you do that. That's what the young guys who are the best in the league do.
August 8th through the 17th is your NBA summer league. Because they're pushing it back.
But just by a couple weeks though.
Yeah, so it would be in July usually. So you'll see Bane get starting type minutes this summer, right? In theory.
You think they'll play him in the summer league?
I would think you put Desmond Bane in the summer league.
Bane will be out there, bro.
Yeah.
Somebody mentioned last night in the broadcast, it might have been Harrington.
See him on the ball a little more. That's where you use him. That you want to see that out in summer league.
Yeah, they were talking about using different guys at the point guard position this summer and just seeing what you got.
Now, somebody mentioned Melton. I don't know if you said Melton.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make the cut.
Bro, Melton is not going to the summer league.
If I'm Melton, I am.
He gave him a huge contract.
Yeah, that, yes. I don't think so. Who mentioned that? I think Harrington mentioned
it. Harrington.
Really?
Yeah.
Trying him at the point guard position.
That's where you do it.
I mean, obviously Harrington would know more than me on that front, but
Melton is only 23, and I realize. But Melton's to some degree proven.
Yeah.
He's got a big contract. You know, you would hate to have something happen to him in the summer league. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't want anything to happen to Bane.
I don't want anything to happen to anybody, but you know, certainly a guy that I've invested, you know, a real contract into.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking rookies are out there.
Yeah. No. So the 2021 season would basically then start on time. Like regular, like it'd be like what, October?
October-ish. You know? End of October.
And this past year it was what, December?
Yes.
You know, late November, December.
Late December.
Yeah. So you're gonna get a regular, you're gonna get back on a routine with the
So there's actually a chance to get better.
Exactly. 82 games, yeah.
There's actually a chance to get better in the offseason with your skill work and everything else you do. So I know that bodes well for John Morant. I want to see Jaren in there and working, and I think it would behoove him, particularly what it seems like the front office's plan is, to get inside and get comfortable. So because that's where they want to play you. We'll see if it's the best thing. What we know is he's got to be more interior oriented than he is right now, just settling for that three. So
yeah, I mean,
time to work.
Yeah, so
and
I mean,
Lord, I don't know what's happening with BC, but that's another conversation for another day.
In terms of things that I would like to see next season, I'd like to certainly see that developmental jump from Jaren. I think that's the top of the list.
It's huge, and staying healthy, obviously, but that goes without saying.
But I would also like to see, you know, I would like to see them add one more shooter. That's what I would like to, you know, that's what I would like to see, because I feel like there were times where, yes, of course, they need defenders as well, and that's what they hope Justice will be. That's what they hope they're going to get back with him.
He seems to have that spot sort of wrapped up right now, especially if they're going to pick up that option.
But I'd like to see them address it, you know, whether it's through the draft or what, because what the Jazz have shown to me is that you can never have too many. You can never have too many shooters, man.
Well, now that is a good point.
Like, just because you drafted Desmond Bane last draft doesn't mean you shouldn't draft another shooter. Mm. Because at all times, the Jazz had four shooters on the floor, dude.
Yes, yes.
They had Mike, Bogdanovich, mm-hmm. Ingles, Clarkson, O'Neal, yeah. Donovan Mitchell.
It's legit.
I mean, they had three to four shooters on the floor at any given moment.
Well, it's like Windhorst said, are we going to a league where it is going to be about outscoring folks too? Like
yes.
You talked about that with the Bucks versus the Nets and how it's sort of this new school, we'll be Portland, we'll be Nets and just go out there and outscore you, as opposed to trying to worry about getting stops, versus a Bucks team that is very capable of getting those stops.
Yep.
That you know, in 2-3 years,
yep.
You know, hey, is it going to be more about putting up 140 than it is, you know, keeping somebody below 110? We'll
Look,
see.
Look, here is the way the NBA is going.
Sort of where the league is right
here
now.
Here is the way the NBA is going.
Because you can't touch anybody, man.
Correct.
The way they call
Correct.
It now.
Four shooters on the floor, one rim protector.
I was joking around with my man Healy last night, Mark Healy. I was telling him, it's not about stops no more. It's about flops. It really is.
You got the nutmeg for that? Yeah, I mean.
Oh, did you like that?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
No, it wasn't. You poking fun at it, but it is. I mean, my point is that the league is so soft, you can't touch anybody anymore. You used to could pull guys out of the air. You do that now. Ooh, man, that felt.
What was it? What was the line? What was just
the league is not about stops anymore. It's about flops.
That's my time, ladies and gentlemen.
And it applies to the three-time defense. He's going to be three-time defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert. I mean, the man lives to flop. And he's your defensive player of the year. It is so the league has changed so much. And it's just funny that Windhorst had actually touched on this yesterday, but that may be what it ends up being, John, is you're just trying to outshoot everybody.
Well, you are.
But having four shooters on the floor,
yes.
As Utah has shown us, if you can do that,
yeah.
It's absolutely a way to win.
Well, like, look, again, the Jazz are top five in both offense and defense, right? But like when you think about their players on the court, I don't think of Donovan
That's
Mitchell
team
as a great
with,
exactly.
But it's having
you have Gobert.
Let's be real. Like
you have
we talked about the Memphis. When you have a sort of it was Wiseman at the time,
yes.
But you have that rim protector.
Yes.
You can do a lot more.
And
things.
They're hoping that's
let's
what Jaren is.
So he's a big
not
part
Gobert,
of that.
But they're hoping that Jaren is sort of that modern
rim
protector.
You can't stop their pick and roll right now. You can't stop it.
Yeah.
Not to mention they're all in the corners ready to shoot. So,
that's kind of that. You know, look, you've got Dillon, who is capable of knocking down the shot, and you've got Desmond Bane. That's really it. I mean, you're hoping Jaren becomes that, but you also need Jaren to play inside some, too. So I would certainly really want to address the three-point shooting. I mean, I know that's like something we've been saying in this damn market for 15 years, but especially now.
I mean, Bane is going to hit you some threes.
Yeah, but I mean, I want more than Bane. I can only have one.
I understand. I just think you left him out there. He's knocked down.
Yeah. But that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a huge step developmentally from Jaren next season, and I'd also
well,
like to see
Grayson
another shooter.
For one more year on contract?
Yeah, I believe so. And Grayson, it, look, it's just hard to depend on Grayson.
$4 million through, for next year. And
if you told me that Grayson was going to come back next year and he's going to be a 37% three-point shooter, that, to me that counts. But you can't – he didn't
you
do anything for you on
defend.
The road. Right. They targeted him defensively. Everybody did.
After him.
Jazz and Spurs.
And you got to have Ja, who's not great as
right.
an individual defender,
right.
gets ate up on some of this stuff. You got to have him out there. So to that point, and Harrington has made this point, I agree with him on, when you got the two of them out there, you know, there's going to be some drawbacks in what you can do defensively if you got to have Grayson out there for the shooting, and you know Ja's going to be out there.
Right.
So that it like I told you, yes, be nice to get the three-point shooters. I'd like to see some that can play some defense as well. That's why I go back to DeAnthony. Like, at least you saw it in the regular season with the percentage,
mm-hmm.
and you know defensively he's better than Grayson. But I'm not vouching for DeAnthony to be up in a starting role or anything like that. I'd love to see him as their this sort of six-man extraordinaire that can do both things, be a two-way guy for
somebody has tweeted us, and they say Cam Thomas from LSU would be a perfect fit for the Grizzlies. Now, here's the thing about Cam Thomas.
Are we doing draft?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of the addressing the shooting, right?
Okay.
Think about Cam. I watched a lot of LSU last year.
Okay, I did not. So I mean, you're going to give us the expert opinion on Cam. I do not have
like
one.
Cam took lots of threes. He didn't make as many as I would like.
Okay.
It was like LSU was an unstructured kind of deal. Like, they kind of run and gun, right? Like, that's what they did. And they had Cam, they had Javonte Smart, and then Trenton Wofford. Cam Thomas is a good player. I don't think he's a fit for what the Grizzlies do. I think he's a little bit more freewheeling. I think he needs a little bit more freedom than the Grizzlies would probably be able to give him in this offense. Like, Desmond Bane, to me, is the perfect type of shooter. Like, he's not a guy who you have to really create space for.
Yeah.
He's going to get to a spot, and he's going to knock down the three. He's a set shooter.
Yeah, if he's open, mm-hmm. he's knocking it down.
You know, so that's
kind of – great pick.
I need more of Desmond Bane. Cam Thomas is like a – you know, he's a guy who you're going to sort of run some ISO for, you know, and create for himself.
Well, okay, so first of my draft, I pull up for 21 just to mess around mm-hmm. a little bit here. We know Grizzlies are going 17th. Yahoo's the first one I pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
They got your boy Franz Wagner.
Yeah.
From Michigan.
What do you think about him?
The dude that airballed the three.
Shoot.
Loved Michigan. It was at the moment, though, in that key moment, yes, he came up short.
That happened, but.
But did you not love – you were all over Michigan this year.
I loved Michigan more for Chandy Brown and Livers and Dickinson. Not for Wagner. I mean, again, fine. Like, what did he shoot from three? What did he shoot?
I don't have it in front of me.
He shot 34% from three. You know, not a terrible percentage, but those numbers don't go up. you know what I'm saying?
It'll be fun to get back in obviously a deeper draft, though, with this front office that's found value just about anywhere it's been
here lately. They can do it,
so,
yeah.
I mean, that will be fun talking about what you can add here with that 17th pick.
I like Javonte Smart, man. I do. I think Javonte Smart is a really,
really
good player.
He's a backup point guard on this team, right?
What
is he other than that? He'd be behind Ja, right?
I mean, he'd play off the ball.
Play him in shooting
Javonte
guard.
Javonte Smart shot 40% from three last year. That's the LSU guard I'm interested in.
USA Today also.
How many threes he take? He was their main ball handler, was he not? And
yeah,
you watched more
multiple.
LSU than me.
Mm-hmm. They had multiple.
Was it just a good percentage in few threes?
He shot six threes a game.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, that's better. I'll give it to you. That's better than I thought he was from outside. He ain't a shooting guard, though.
No, he's a combo. You know, he's like like everything. You know, what's DeAnthony Melton?
How tall is Javonte? 6'5", 6'4"?
Yep. He's good. He's rangy.
Where is he in mock drafts?
He's not.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
You're getting me all hyped up on somebody you like that did have a good season down at LSU.
He's an NBA player.
I'm talking about 17. Who they taking with 17? It ain't Javonte.
What do you think of that DeSumo guy from Illinois?
Oh, John loves him.
Don't you think he's the 17?
Is he going to be there?
Yeah.
Oh,
he'll probably be there.
Here's the thing about DeSumo.
He's mocking in the 20s.
You thought he'd be top 10 at some point. Did
we
not have that discussion?
Yes. Okay. DeSumo
he's mocking in the 20s.
A lead guard, though. That's the problem. That's
his junior year, he shot 39%. It went down because he was trying to drive the ball the next year after
DeSumo that. DeSumo needs the ball in his hands. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's a driver.
He just does.
Yeah.
And that ain't going to work here. You know,
I like that player, though.
I love DeSumo, man. He is a gamer.
Yep.
He is a big game player. And he is going to be really, really good for somebody. But, like, look, I'm hoping that his championship game was so freaking bad that Kispert is there at 17.
Yeah.
He won't be.
Wow.
He won't be. But if they don't take Kispert and he's there at 17, I will riot.
That dude is not Gordon Hayward, man.
I don't need him to be Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that's what he is, bro.
Don't need him to be. He won't be there, though, at 17. I don't even want to get excited.
I hope he
is. What's that Yahoo draft?
I see a system player.
I know you went to Yahoo.com. And
does Kispert play defense?
Man, who cares? Who does play defense? Harden don't play defense.
Grayson Allen don't play defense. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, but he'll shoot better than Grayson.
If you have Ja Morant on the floor and you're going to have that, it is so critical that the other guys on the floor are good defenders as Ja tries to get better, but feels like he's going to be limited.
He will shoot better than Grayson does, bro. He's a mercenary. He's a mercenary from three. That's what Kispert is. But he won't be there because the NBA is not going to be stupid enough to let him fall to the Memphis Grizzlies.
I was let down by him.
Because they will be a championship contender if Kispert's on this team next season. That's what I'm willing to say.
One of the other wings out there is this 6'6 guy from Oregon, Chris Duarte.
Yeah.
He's an older senior. He's 24.
You know, they love getting the older
guys.
They
love the older dudes.
They do.
Senior player. You know, he's a wing.
I think you've
tall.
Probably done that enough.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of Oregon this year. I just don't think, quite frankly, he's got the athleticism for me at the next level. Like, maybe you don't need it. There are plenty of guys in the NBA who get by without having it as much, but I'm not a fan of that one. And again, you're talking about a dude that had to have the ball in his hands a lot there at Oregon as well. Shot 42% from three.
Latest Gavoni one had 17 Grizzlies. The Kai Jones kid from Texas.
I know he's been the pick
for
a while.
He's a big though. He's a big.
That's what you're taking with a power forward with your first pick.
I don't need another power forward. I'm sorry. I mean, until they figure out what they're going to do with Brandon Clark, right?
Yeah, that's a question mark.
One of the
mark.
Deepest teams in the NBA, Grizzlies could stand to add some explosiveness, versatility in the front court to shore up their depth in an attempt to establish themselves as a contender in the West Conference. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jones is a versatile defender who showed some promise as a floor spacer to complement his rim running, offensive rebounding, and finishing prowess, giving him plenty of upside to grow into long term.
I don't.
How nice. Big is he? You don't have it.
He's 6'11".
Okay.
He's 6'11". Shot 1-3 a game. I mean, I don't.
That don't get that done.
I mean, you know, you can find guys like that to me in the second round. I mean, no offense to, and I don't want anybody from Texas. That team was an embarrassment. All right, they were a four. They lost to Abilene Christian, bro.
Yeah,
you lost to Abilene Christian, and I bring this up every time I talk about that. But they were fighting every time you turn on Texas. They were getting into it with each other.
Just of note, he's got your boy Jalen Green going third ahead of Jalen Suggs. He got it going third to the Orlando Magic. Now, don't ask me how they figured that out in terms of the guards that Orlando has, but still high respect for Jalen Green even after going to the G League number 3 pick, man.
Yeah, look, here's the thing.
Man, we're coming to Memphis.
You know,
thank you, Rod Strickland.
You look at. The draft and the Grizzlies having the 17th overall pick. They have other assets as well. But this pick is important. Every pick now has increased implication. Klay Thompson was there at 11 for the Warriors. Draymond Green was there in the second round for the Warriors. Those were two picks that changed, later picks, that changed the entire trajectory of their franchise. So even though...
Grizzlies got both, right? They got their first and second round of this year?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
And if you love somebody in that top 10, you could take 17 plus the other pick and you package and you go.
You certainly could.
Isaiah Livers. Didn't you just mention him?
Yes.
At 51.
For the Grizz?
Yeah.
Grizz. Love it.
Interesting.
Grizzlies from Trail Blazers.
Love it, bro.
It's good.
You just mentioned him as one of your Michigan guys.
Yes.
You?
I love it. I mean,
Gavoni's got him at 51 going to the Grizzlies.
Interesting.
That's the Trailblazers.
I watched a ton of college basketball, especially in the tournament, and so I have pretty strong opinions about the majority of these dudes. I don't think. Do you have the mock draft in front of you? Where does this mock draft have Kispert going? Probably top 10, right?
I will look it up because it had to be top 15, wouldn't it?
I mean, I would.
USA Today has him at 16 to Boston. Kispert.
Oh, my God. I will move up. I will move up.
6'7 wing.
Gavoni's got him. I don't either. Gavoni's got him higher at 11.
No, Kispert.
He's not going to be there.
He ain't going to be there for you at 17. Thank God.
Why?
No, you don't want
43% from three. Why are you guys gaslighting right now?
Look, everybody thinks he's Gordon Hayward. I would just tell you he's not. He let me down there in the title game. Those are big moments.
I mean, look at the rest of his tournament.
Bro.
Look at the rest of that dude's tournament, man.
Slaw-ass conference.
No, he went up against some athletic dudes who were built just like you are in the NBA, some grown-ass men, and he wasn't a factor.
Not good.
That's what concerns me.
He shot 50% from three against Oklahoma.
They play against West Coast Conference. Ain't nobody out there bigger than them.
He shot 67% from three against Creighton. I mean, I'm not sure what I'm not seeing, man. And he's also, like, he's got the body at 6'7".
He's tall.
You know, he's got some athleticism to his game. Hell yeah, I would jump up two spots for him.
He ain't pushing anybody around, though, at 6'7".
Now, that's not what happens in the NBA. You very rarely see trades like that.
You ain't getting him down there at 17 anyway, so stop with the dreaming.
I would package something, though. Brandon Clark and the 17th pick.
Go get him?
And I would go get Corey Kispert.
Wow.
I would, because they don't have any plans for Brandon Clark as it is. They just don't.
What's Charlotte going to do with Brandon Clark in the 17th pick? Not a damn
Yeah, you know it's going to be Charlotte,
Yeah,
too.
Mike probably would fall for that mess.
Yep. Yeah, you do. Exactly. You picked the
BC
right partner.
Wasn't even in the damn rotation.
You picked the exact right partner. Well, they pair him with LaMelo, you know, finish lives. I like Brandon Clark. I don't know why he's on the milk cart. I don't know why he's on an island.
No,
here.
And I'm giving him too much because, again, he filled a role.
So you wouldn't package. Wouldn't package 17.
Of course,
and Brandon Clark.
I'd do it if them fools would take it.
You would do. You would get
Charlotte and they ain't dumb enough to take that.
No.
Deal. Brandon Clark and the 17 to move up to 11.
Man, Corey Kispert.
They'd be fools
so
to do it.
That's something they would do. They'd go get him at 6'7"
and those guys are. Gavoni and them are with you. That Kispert's gonna be a good one. Like Hayward, gonna 100%. Be a shooter who's got the size to be a decent defender. So y'all might end up being the ones that are right. I just don't trust it with him. I mean, trust it.
Every single year, he improved from three. 35 to 37, 37 to 43, 43 to 44.
You could be right.
He's a senior. He's the kind of guy. He fits the profile of the type of guy the Grizzlies
draft. You're exactly right.
You know, so I would absolutely do it. I would buy the jersey the same night.
Wow.
Oh, I already know. Great next American white bat.
Hope.
Yeah, you have great hope for this man.
The next Mike Miller.
How soon you forget about Grayson Allen
Who
and
says
move
that?
On?
Does Mike Miller say that?
No, I haven't asked Mike Miller his opinion on Corey Kispert. But
Well, let's get it from the professor next time we have him on. I'd like to know if he sees a – if what he sees with him.
Yeah, yeah. But that is...
game recognized game. I just want him to do the fraud.
Right, right. It is exciting, though. The 17th pick.
Oh, you can do some things.
You may look at it like, you know, late round, whatever.
Oh, you got some assets to move up if you want to.
Certainly do. And I think, to your point, Kispert is absolutely... because that's the point you made. Kispert is absolutely worth moving up to do. That's what you said. You said you would package Dylan Brooks to move up for Corey Kispert.
No, fool. Don't be stupid. Dylan Brooks, real proven two-way.
Nah, but here's the thing, though. Seriously. Think about the starting lineup.
You ain't serious. I can tell.
Yeah,
no,
I am.
I think you're not. Go for it.
Ja.
Put Kispert in there.
Ja, Dylan, Kispert, Jaren, Jonas.
I could see it working.
He's better than Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle gave you 2 points last night. We have totally the Kyle Anderson sun run, whatever you want to call it, it is expired.
I don't think that's totally unreasonable.
Now, look, I mean, I think that you might be giving up some things. I don't know what his defensive efficiency ratings are.
Man.
I don't know.
You don't care is the issue.
But seriously.
He models his game after you.
How much fun would that starting lineup be, though? How much fun would that start?
What did he have against Baylor?
Man, he had 12. He had 12 against Baylor.
Disappeared.
He had 15 against UCLA. He had 18 against USC, 12 against Creighton, 16 against Oklahoma. The dude is really good. He's a really, really good shooter. I would do it. And I hope the Grizzlies are listening. I hope they do this because it will absolutely – you have your three. You have your three.
John's going to buy Kispert. A jersey, Grizz.
Because, look –
there's a reason to do it.
I mean, y'all ain't sick of watching that slow-ass shot that doesn't go in? No offense to Kyle.
No, I'm
kind of sick of it. I'm ready to see a quick release that actually goes
in. Kispert ain't going to give you six steals in a game.
No.
No, but he might give you six threes in a game, and that's what matters in today's NBA. Anyway,
I won't argue with you on that point, but you have to be able to get a few stops.
It'll be an exciting draft. It'll be a very exciting draft for the Memphis Grizzlies at 17, or maybe they move up and take a guy like Kispert. We shall see. We'll come back. Jeff Calkins is going to join us. We will talk to him about the Grizzlies season, what he would write in their yearbook, what they need going forward, and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's Memphis Sports Cash.
Sports Cash.
Hi, this is Sammy from Memphis, and I just won $1,000 at 92.9 ESPN. ESPN Sports Radio.
Every hour on the hour. Only on 92.9 FM ESPN. It all starts Wednesday, June 9th. And every weekday, Cash on the Hour. Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios. Online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Who they want? Jeff Clark. Who they want? Jeff Clark. Who they want? Jeff Clark.
is on demand. Hear him every day here on 99 FM ESPN on the Jeff Calkins Show. Read him at the Daily Memphian. He joins us every single Thursday. He joins us out. Let's make him the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
What up, dude?
Pretty slim pickings if I'm the Giant Interview, man.
We got one guest today.
We saved it all for you.
Well, that's because you need the people today. Like, today there's a lot to say.
Yes.
You don't need to clutter up your show with people who don't understand Memphis and don't understand the Grizzlies and whatever else. This is a day when you need, you know, you need real Memphis, and I appreciate that.
One of the things that Dwayne the Rock Johnson always said,
oh boy,
is that we don't decide, the people decide.
Yeah,
and so that's what we did today.
That's right.
Look, I will ask you this though: as I look at what the Grizzlies did this postseason as a graduation, it's not sad. It's you're embarking on your greater future. It is officially, we can say, begun. Whatever the journey to whatever it shall be has officially begun in earnest because they've gotten the taste of the playoffs. I don't know if they did yearbooks back when you graduated, but in the event that they did, what would you write in the Memphis Grizzlies 2020-2021 yearbook?
I'd write, it's been really great to get to know you this year. Best of luck in the future. That's what everybody loves.
That was a little generic.
It's like you don't really care.
Lukewarm.
Yeah.
What they would do with me was is they'd say, it's been really great to get to know you this year, and they'd spell my name J-E-F-F. And I, you know, and it was like...
You resented that.
You know, seriously? You really? Get to know me? Yeah, I think the Grizzlies are most likely to succeed, right? I think they're
Superlatives now.
I'm going to superlatives now. No, I mean, obviously, it was a fabulous year. To me, the only question is, you know, what part of the year you enjoyed the most? It's nice to sort of reflect on that. And my colleague Otis Sanford said that he has watched the Golden State game, believes it's an instant classic, and has watched it at least a dozen times, such that he now knows everything. He can repeat the dialogue, you know, between Jeff Van Gundy and whoever else was on the call for that one. And then it's your perspective on the future. As Chris Harrington pointed out on my show today, there's all this talk about this is the youngest team to make the playoffs since that Oklahoma City team, you know, a decade ago. But that team had its best players were all young, right? Its best players were all 23 or younger or something like that. It was Kevin Durant, it was James Harden, it was Russell Westbrook, and it was Serge Ibaka, and they were all going to be certified stars, and they were all young. Well, the Grizzlies' best players beyond Ja were this year Dylan, Kyle, and Jonas. So the younger guys, you know, they're not the guy, except for Ja, they're not the guys who carried the freight. And so... And then you've got the very interesting case of Jaren Jackson Jr. So I do think it's hopeful. I think this last 2 weeks, that's really what it's been. It's been less than 2 weeks. It's been monumental in terms of creating momentum for the franchise. But I do think there's a lot of work to be done. And I think you can't just assume that you know it's a straight up line from here.
What's your level of optimism when it comes to Jaren Jackson Jr.? You mentioned it's an interesting case, all right. A lot of questions surrounding him. Where are you on how good he can be after what we saw, given small sample size?
I'm still optimistic about Jaren.
I think I'm with you.
Am I worried, too? Like, is there? There's all that. There's concern. There's optimism. There's, you know, it's all wrapped up into one. I think anyone who has any true conviction about Jaren Jackson Jr., you're just picking a side. At this point, like, we don't know how it's going to turn out. He has all the ability in the world. He's a big guy who can run the court. He's skilled. He can ostensibly, you couldn't tell at this latest stint, but he can shoot from the outside. I think he could be a all-star level player. And he's young. He's 21, for heaven's sakes. And at this point, I believe he's played fewer games for the Grizzlies than Ja. Mm-hmm. So, but he is a, you know, he's like he's buying a stock that's just you're guessing a little bit on the way you think it's going to go. Now, he was really interesting in the post game Zoom last night. Someone asked him a question, and he just said, "You know what? I apologize. I'm not going to answer your questions. I just have some things that you want to say." And he was emotional. He was emotional about what this year meant to him, about how much he appreciated the medical staff, about how much he appreciated playing with teammates who care as much as these teammates do, about how much he loves it here, and how he is committed to getting better. And it's easy to say that, and it's another thing to do it. And so we will see. But it was hard not to listen to him last night and his determination, to do the things that need to be done. And, again, that's one of the reasons that I come down on the side of optimism. Do you believe that Jaren is going to put the work in? Some people just want the money, which is true. Some people just want the money, and they're content being an NBA player, and they don't have the internal drive to do what needs to be done. I think both Ja and Jaren do. And that's where, more than anything, you know, people can talk about trades or free agents or draft picks. More than anything, the future and the growth of this team is seeing those two improve. That's the most important thing, very clearly, that can happen this offseason.
We were talking today, just before you got on, about, and I know you're going to put your mock draft out a little bit later, closer to the draft.
We were talking about 1.0, and then 2.0, and then 3.0, and then 3.75.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, 100%. Because we know we know how much time you put into this stuff.
Yeah.
But we're talking about, of course, the most important thing in terms of next season, the future of the Grizzlies, is Jaren's development and him becoming that player that we all hope he will be. But also, too, I think what the Jazz showed last night in this entire series is that it is impossible, it is physically impossible, to have too much shooting on the floor. So just because they drafted Desmond Bane last year and he turned out to be a good player and a good piece and a good shooter, that shouldn't preclude you from doing it again at 17 or even moving up and drafting a guy like Corey Kispert, should it?
No. I mean, no, I don't think so. I also think, I mean, you also see it would be nice to have someone else who could guard, right?
Yes.
I mean, someone who could have guarded their shooters. Like,
yes.
This team, and it'd be nice. And the problem, of course, is that with the Grizzlies, what you really want is someone who can do all those things, someone who can shoot and can guard the other team's shooters and who's maybe explosive and can get to the rim. You know, Donovan Mitchell would be nice. And so the Grizzlies, you know, if you have a shooter on your team who can't guard anybody, well, they got Grayson Allen, you know. I mean, you know, they have one of those. So I'm not saying
I think it could be a totally different pedigree.
No, I understand that, but you want absolutely they want shooters, but like they also want wing defenders, you know, and they want players who can create their own shot, and they want, you know, so I think they want, in the end, I think they want the best player. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, quote unquote, a shooter. I think Jaren shooting is going to help this team. You know, when Jaren becomes the shooter that he's supposed to be, when Desmond Bane has a bigger role, when Ja improves his shooting, you know, who is this shooter going to play ahead of? This 17th going to play ahead of?
Corey Kispert would play ahead of Kyle Anderson.
I don't actually believe he would next year play ahead of Kyle Anderson.
I mean, maybe not. Maybe, but we can't say for sure. I mean, if Corey Kispert comes in and shooting 45% from three,
right? Yes,
he has to guard too. Of course, he has to guard. But I mean,
but
again,
I mean, like, if someone going to pick it, come in and play ahead of Desmond Bane next year? Like Desmond Bane, he was, you know, I don't know. Like, are they getting a shooter who's going to have? Yes. I don't think they have to go into the draft saying we have to get a shooter. I do not believe that. No.
I'm not saying it has to be in the draft, but all I am saying is that you need more. You need more.
Yeah,
the Grizzlies need more.
Yeah,
the Grizzlies do not have enough shooting. The Grizzlies do not have enough shooting right now.
I think it's certainly true that you can always need more shooting. I think the most important thing they can do for the shooting is to have Jaren getting back to be a 40% high-volume shooter, and to have Ja become a credible shooter. that's the most important thing they can do for their shooting. Right now, you had Jaren, who was missing open threes, and you had Ja, who people were sagging off of. So if you're telling me my choice is either I can have Jaren shooting 40% again and Ja, who becomes a credible jump shooter, or I can have Corey Kispert, I would have the former rather than the latter. Maybe I like them all. That would be great too.
Right.
You can't have too much shooting.
I certainly cannot guarantee you that Jaren's going to get back to shooting 40% from him. That's a hell of a clip.
I think Jaren has shown he is a shooter. I believe Jaren will get back.
He's shown
to
that
the
he is
going to
shoot.
Last year.
Yes, he's shown that he's going to shoot.
He's a maker. Jaren is a maker. Well, I don't see any reason why Jaren won't shoot as well next year as he did last year.
I mean, since coming back this season, he has not shot the ball well.
So which is more representative of who Jaren is? Last year when he was healthy and played a whole season, or this year when he came back and hadn't played in a year? If you're saying that's what you expect Jaren to be, you're nuts.
Or no, I'm not. I'm really middling it. It could be something in between.
I tend to think young players tend to get better, and so I take
like
last
Wade Baldwin.
Year as,
but if it's 37%, that's still fine from Jaren Jackson.
I agree.
I think last year as the floor. Last year, I think, is the floor for Jaren. I'm not going to middle him. Why wouldn't he be as good a shooter in his fifth year as he was?
You think 40% from three is
Jaren's
floor?
What did he shoot last year?
40%.
Last year he shot 40%. That's what I think he's going to shoot.
That's not his floor.
I think that's what he is. That he is a 40% shooter. That's what he is. This year, it's silly to look at Jaren this year and say, well, the guy hadn't freaking played and hadn't worked out, whatever. It's silly to say that's Jaren.
I am certainly not saying that this is Jaren.
And I'm not even going to middle it. Why don't you think he can be as good as he was last year?
Because Steph Curry is a 40% shooter. You know?
Jaren is a hell of a shooter. My point is, and he wasn't this year. So you wanted more shooting in the lineup. I think the best place you're going to get that is from Jaren Jackson Jr., and I think the next place you're going to get that is by Ja becoming a better shooter. If they want to add more shooting, that's great too. But I think those things, it's what I've said all along. The most improvement of this team is not going to be what they add. It's going to be what these guys become.
Let me ask you this, Jeff, before you guys kill each other and we're sticking with roster construction.
Jaren Jackson hater.
John flips quick, Jeff.
You think Jaren Jackson's shooting form should be on the Discovery Channel? Like, it's one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen.
I care if they go in.
Here's a question for you. Jonas Valanciunas, do $14 million next year as the last year of his contract. What happens with him, Jeff? Can you re-sign him to something team-friendly? Do you even want to at that point? Is it then Jaren at the five? What do you think Jonas's chances are of being back after next season? Like, do you want that?
I think the great thing is we have never seen this team would not have been in the playoffs or close to the playoffs, but for Valanciunas and the work that he did.
Agreed.
This year. Honestly, and they would not have beaten Golden State. And so I think he absolutely will be a part of the team going into next year. And we have never really seen an extended period where he plays with Jaren. And so let's see what that looks like. Let's see what Jaren comes back at. Let's see how Jaren is at the five. Let's see what Xavier Tillman becomes in his development. There'll be more development there. I don't think it's a decision you have to make right now. I think that's a decision you can make at the trade deadline next year.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I think the data that you get between the start of next year and the trade deadline will determine what happens next.
I just think he's a mismatch for everybody but Utah, just about. I mean, there are other teams he would struggle against, but that, to your point, like, he was one of the big reasons you tore up Golden State. Yes. And he can be that against most of the league, you figure, while he's at least still young.
If
you could do it team-friendly, I don't know why you wouldn't.
The league is clamoring
to get him at that point?
Utah showed you what the league is going to, okay? And it's one big, whether that's Rudy Gobert, whoever it is.
But he does not shoot. He does not shoot from three, and they win.
That's not true. It's just not true. Like, the Clippers could very well beat Utah this year, and they're not one big. You know what? They're a bunch of long guys who are athletic, who can guard.
The Clippers can't even beat the Mavericks.
They might well beat them, Mavericks. I think Utah is actually an aberration. And then my only question with Utah is, once they play teams that have that transcendent player, you know, when Dylan Brooks can carve them up, what's Kawhi Leonard going to do against him, right? Like, I don't know. And
right,
so
that's a big question.
It, to me, is going to be interesting. What they have, in fact, is a defensively, they're really good because they've got a one great defensive player. But, like, can they guard the big wing? You know, because they didn't have that. So they didn't have it to throw at them. And so I think the Utah built their team the way they had to because they can't get the traditional mega wing star to come to that free agent to come to that market. And so they've got 6'1 Donovan Mitchell, who obviously is a great draft pick. And then they pick up Mike, shrewd pick. They swing for the fences and pick up Mike. And they got Rudy Gobert. And they're gonna see if the sum of the parts can be better than the star system. But I think the way the league is going is still a collection of three stars. And I hope Utah can knock that off. I don't think Utah is the model for anything. I think Utah is an aberration, and I hope it works.
I mean, everybody that is on the court for the Nets can shoot. Almost everybody that's on the court for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Right, but the Nets, I'm not, now you went back to the other argument. I'm saying, you said one big. Who's, you there? I'm all for shooters, but I'm saying the
I mean, who's the big for the, who's the, there's one big for the
big
Brooklyn
for the Nets.
Nets?
Like, who's, the Brooklyn Nets aren't built around one big.
Well, of course they are. They have one big. They have DeAndre Jordan, and they bring in Blake Griffin.
But they're not really even built around, they're built around having, listen, if I
could How many bigs Harden, do the Bucks
if
have?
I could have James Harden and Kevin Durant on my team, I'd take that. And Kyrie, yes. I would like that. Yes, I would like that. You're asking me if Corey Kispert is the answer for this team. I think the answer for this team is the development of the stars that they have. But by all means, if they can get James Harden, do that, dude.
You want to bring
Why
back
are you
grit
so
and grind.
Objectionable
you,
today?
You want to bring back so. Grit and grind, and I am trying
no,
to
I
evolve.
I don't want to
The game has changed.
I want you to acknowledge that there is a capacity with this team, and I think it goes back to your Jaren Jackson hate, there's a capacity with this team to get better, and that the 17th pick in the draft is probably not going to be where you're going to find Kevin Durant or James Harden or Kyrie Irving. And so I'm looking to internally to Jaren and Ja to get better rather than thinking, oh, you know what I'm going to get? I'm going to get a 17th pick, and that's going to make us a great shooting team. No, it's not.
No, I agree with you that that is the most important thing. In fact, that's the way the conversation started. I agree that the development of Jaren is certainly more important than whatever they will add at 17.
Right, and I won't be mad if they pick Kispert at 17. I'll be happy. I'll be happy for that.
It sounds like you're going to be mad.
I think you are overemphasizing that. I wouldn't spend 5 minutes
Clay,
on it relative
Clay
to
Thompson,
everything else this team
Clay Thompson was picked number 11. You would have said the same thing about Clay when they drafted him at 11.
When they said Clay, I said he was a steal. I predict him to be a future star. That's what I said. Everyone else was saying they should trade Clay. I said, no. You got to keep that dude. He's a star.
No, I agree.
That's what I said.
My point is that you cannot – overdose.
You just want another.
You cannot overdose on shooting.
Team. You know what it gets back to? You want another white player on this team.
I want. Well,
you want another
exposed.
White shooter who you can relate to. That's great.
Great.
John.
Grayson
he hates
is
Grayson.
Not
he hates
fitting
Grayson.
The bill right now, man.
Yeah, he wants another one.
Yeah,
I don't like Grayson for some reason.
All I'm saying is that nobody has ever overdosed on 3-point shooting, man.
I'm with you there.
That's all I'm saying.
I agree with that. No one has ever overdosed.
So I hope that Jaren's 40%.
Let's bring Mike Miller back.
Corey Kispert might be the next Mike Miller. That's what I'm saying.
But I'll tell you this, though. Mike Miller didn't go 17th.
He did not.
He went fourth, I believe.
What you looking at me for Mike Third? Miller's pick? You supposed to know that, bro.
I don't remember what
Miller,
Mike's pick.
I bet Mike Miller went fourth.
He was fifth.
Okay. He was fifth.
Yeah, he's top.
Yeah. So listen, you can't get Mike Miller at 17.
Oh, of course you can. Of course you can. It's possible. Anyway, look, this is a very fun conversation. Jeff, have a great summer, my friend.
Thank you,
weird,
Jeff.
Weird ass. You got a weird definition of fun over there. All right, see ya.
Thanks,
bye.
Man. He is Jeff Calkins on demand. Catch him every day here on 92.9 FM ESPN. No, I don't want to misconstrue it. I really hope that
you like
that,
picking a fight with Calkins is what it is.
No, I hope Jaren shoots 40%. I hope Ja gets to 40%. I hope Desmond Bain keeps shooting 40%. I don't think there's enough. I don't think you could. Nobody has ever said, man, we just have too much shooting. Nobody's ever said that.
I'm just telling you, are you trying to be Boogie and Kispert's agent?
No, I'm not trying to be anybody.
Because I didn't know till today how much you loved Corey Kispert.
Well, it's the player profile. It's not necessarily him. It's like
I see white.
43% shooter. All right.
Yeah, I get
Sign me up.
What is RJ Hampton shooting
this year?
What's his shooting percentage?
That's a good question.
Should we trade for RJ? I know you like him.
RJ Hampton's a very good young player. He won't fit here, but
he's not a shooter. That's true.
32% from three. Yeah. 32%.
RJ, he don't have the complexion John likes.
Yeah, that's right.
I love RJ. No. I love RJ, but he's good where he's in a great situation.
Not a shooter.
He's a really good situation. More of a slasher, more of a creator.
Are you two guys are dog people, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
When we get back to close this thing out, I have a question for you dog people.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That I need you to answer for me.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's that. Okay. I'm going to look up some Corey Kispert highlights over the break.
I know
Jason
you
and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station. Sports station.
92.9 ESPN from Odyssey.
When my man Corey Kispert gets here, he's going to have to buy a house. Settle on down, brother. Because if I have anything to do with it, you will be here for life. And when you're settling down and trying to buy a home, sell a home, there's only one team to get with. That's the Live Love Memphis group at RE/MAX Experts. They're the best in Memphis and the Midtown. They can sell any home in Memphis and surrounding areas. And why are they the team to go with? Because they know what it takes to get top dollar for your home. They know what upgrades need to be done, what upgrades don't need to be done, which ones are going to help you get the most out of your home. They know those things. You do not. Trust me. So email them, info@livelovememphis.com.
Or you can call them up, Corey Kispert, potentially, or more importantly, you guys, ready to sell that home, 410-8818. Ask for Jennifer Carstensen, anybody on that hardworking team, April Darnell. They're fantastic, the best of what they do. As John said, not just here in Shelby County, they're licensed in Mississippi as well, so DeSoto County. You're looking to sell your home, looking to get some advice, right? Want to know what you've got to put in it to get as much as you want out of it? They are the perfect team to call because they've got all the right advice. That was the case with me 2.5 years ago. It will be the case for you right now in 2021. Again, that number, 410-8818. It's the Live Love Memphis group at RE/MAX Experts. They're livelovememphis.com. All right, we have not talked about this. Came out a couple of days ago. Happened on Memorial Day, I think, is when the thing went viral. But the 17-year-old girl that pushed a bear in California off the wall. I can tell, Brad, by your face you have not seen this. Just type in bear push wall.
And it's absurd.
She is obviously a dog lover. Her pets were out in the backyard in California, and this bear is up on the wall taking some pretty lethal swipes at the dog, okay? So she runs out there, 17 years old, and gets in front of this bear's face and pushes the bear. Now, we know where Jason's at on dogs. Doesn't have one.
Oh, my God.
I know where you guys are at on dogs. You guys love them. I should have asked Calkins. He's dog lover extraordinaire.
Yeah.
Hell, he's in the dog business. Would you have run out there in your backyard if John, in your case, Tonio, if he's out there and he's getting swiped, have you looked at the way the bear swiped at
bro,
the dog?
Bro, it was going in for the kill.
You dog lover, would you have run out into your backyard to push that bear away?
So that's a mama bear. That's the worst thing about it. She was protecting her cub. And so that's
she thought
like,
the dogs were a threat.
What the hell is that woman doing?
She's not thinking.
She's 17 years old.
Fight or flight.
17?
She looks like a grown woman. She's 17 years old
you
right now.
Honestly, no.
If you ever see me fight in the forest with a grizzly bear, help me.
No, well, I had to ask some dog lovers.
No, I love dogs,
because clearly
but
the
no.
adrenaline in her, she
Hell
sees
no.
her little dogs getting knocked around.
Yeah.
She just goes running, doesn't think twice about it.
Well,
pushes a predator off of the wall.
No, that's crazy.
Well, first of all, where the hell do you live where a grizzly bear just jumps up on your bodega like
they
that?
They said it happens all the time. They come out of the mountains of California is what she was saying. So
you're going to have to build a bigger fence.
I guess they're used to it. She goes out there. She pushes the thing. This thing's got 43 million views over on TikTok. They put it up
I mean,
on Memorial
really
Day.
It's an insane scene.
Everybody's talked about it on their news shows,
yes.
And I just had to ask you dog lovers
I would,
if you're out there.
I would try to distract it by like yelling or throwing something, but I would not run up to it.
Having said that,
I've been yelling through that glass, Tonio, come back!
I'd say, dinner! Dinner!
I don't want to judge people who would do something like that. That would not be me, though.
That bear could have swiped her in the face and changed
just,
her life forever.
Killed her.
It was a split-second decision. She felt like her dogs were in danger.
The bravery is unbelievable.
No, it's unbelievable.
I just wondered how many of us, you dog lovers, would have done that.
Crazy.
If you ever see me fight in the forest with a grizzly bear, help the bear!
Right.
That's what Mystical once said.
There you go. That's that old Mystical. Very well done.
Yeah, anyway, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Corey Kispert. Thanks to R.J. Hampton. Thanks to Mike Miller for always being a presence on this show. Thanks to Jeff Calkins.
This is
going to
be an ongoing thing, isn't it?
By the way, we got a ways to go for the draft. We're going to hear a lot more about
it.
I did ask Mike Miller about his thoughts on Corey Kispert. He said Joe Harris-ish. So that was his evaluation.
Joe Harris, okay.
Yeah, great shooter.
If he's Joe Harris, you take him all day.
Hell yeah, absolutely. Mike Miller would know a thing or two about shooting, so yeah. I will trust his opinion on that. Welcome to Memphis, Corey Kispert. Junot on Jeopardy up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
This is Memphis' sports station with a legacy of sports in the Mid-South. The flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers Talk. 92.9 FM ESPN. And Odyssey Station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.